The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, after last night, we got to go to a game in Vegas. We got to go to a game in Vegas. You're buying the tickets and the flights and the hotel rooms.
Mark Davis got us. You saw our brother Charles Woods in there. Let's start the show.
Let's start the show. He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that
we give the people what they one.
You saw the electric atmosphere that started with Buffer announcing it was time, and what a game it was from start to the very finish. And I will go through what happened at the end in overtime. It was absolutely wild. It felt like the Raiders won and lost the game about seven times in overtime. But and then they get down to the end with this play. After this play, they're on the field congratulating each other, but then they went to the replay, and it took this pass to Zay Jones to win the game for Las Vegas in the first game with fans in Las Vegas. Jalen Anthony Rose, what do you think of Derek Carr's heroics in overtime?
It was a terrific comeback victory, and you get the Buffer enthusiasm every day from Jalen and Jacoby. That's why you guys been with us for 10 years. And they didn't get off to a great start, by the way. But how about the fact that Derek Carr led three game-tying drives in the fourth quarter? And then, as you mentioned, once overtime came, lost the game, won the game, lost the game, and actually won the game again. And by the way, he targeted Waller 19 times. I know they're excited about Renfro and Henry, and you saw Jones make the touchdown to win the game, but I got a secret for them. They need to throw Henry Ruggs the ball more. Like, they just use him as a deep threat. I saw that last year, and I was waiting to say something, but they need to get him more involved. But with that being said, my bigger concern, Jacoby, is shout to the Raiders for getting their first victory in front of their home fans. Congratulations. But I don't have high expectations for them this season.
Yeah.
I do have high expectations for the Ravens. And then all of a sudden, they lost J.K. Dobbins. They lost Edwards. They lost Marcus Peters. And I just watched them play football. And I'm glad they drafted our guy Bateman, who's been on the show. It was good to see Sammy Watkins go deep. I was great to see Andrews as a tight end have some help. But Lamar has to do too much, dog. You know it, and I know it. They need him to lead the team in passing. They need him to lead the team in rushing. And I was happy to see Tyson Williams come in and see the young fella get a touchdown. And Murray also had a touchdown. But Lamar had three total fumbles and lost two of them. It's just too much responsibility on one man's shoulder.
Yeah, it seems like if he's not running the ball, he's running the ball before he passes the ball. And they do have all those weapons. And one thing I want to mention about the Raiders, which is very concerning, is Josh Jacobs didn't look like Josh Jacobs. He's got that toe problem, and he certainly didn't feel like himself last night in the game. They targeted Waller 19 times. Should probably be about 25. Like, they should probably just target him on everything. He should be the option. He should be the first option on every single play. He is that good and that dynamic, that fast, that strong. But Mr. Rose, I want to talk to you about the last play of the game once again. That final play to Zay Jones. When they lined up, it was like they had that, like that bunch trips to the left. I was like, are they going to throw the ball? Are they going to throw the ball right now? Because they couldn't get the kicker on the field, so they went back 5 yards, and they're just going to run it up the middle, maybe get it to the hash that he likes. And then they threw the ball. That was such a gutsy move. And John Gruden gets criticized a lot, but that was a very, very gutsy play call from Gruden, and I want to salute him for that.
But usually when you blitz the way the defense did, you don't have the time to go deep that way. So I give credit also to Derek Carr for standing in a pocket and making a big throw.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's play it again for us, Tarsi, because you didn't really stay in the pocket. He was kind of running backwards, jumping off the back foot. Like, he's like, ah, get me out of here. And look at that ball. It's perfect. That looks like one of those Russell Wilson moonshots that you love so much. What a game, and what a great way to cap off week one. That was really exciting throughout. The 1 o'clock games are great. The 4 o'clock games are great. The night game is great. And then we have this one on Monday night. But the number one game that people are going to discuss from week one is the Packers losing to the Saints and Jameis. And Matt LaFleur, who we call LaFleur, LaFleur Skoshka, had this to say about his team and looking forward to week two. He said the following, and I quote, "I think this team's focused on now. Unfortunately, sometimes in this league you get humbled, and certainly we got humbled. Like I said, it's about how we respond to that and get ready to play against a team I know is going to be really hungry coming in here." He's talking about your Lions. Jalen Rose, "We discussed that whether they started the season great or poorly, there's going to be a lot of drama around this team because of Aaron Rodgers' offseason. How do you think that impacted this game and will impact their season moving forward?"
I want to make sure I give credit to the Saints defense. I want to make sure I acknowledge Sean Payton as the quarterback whisperer who put Jameis Winston in the dugout last year on a minimum basically contract, trotted him out there, and he threw 5 touchdown passes as efficiently as we've ever seen. And on the other side, Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, they struggled mightily. Aaron Rodgers, like I told you, he threw an interception, dog, that was like a punt. I was watching the game. I was about to run out there and try to get it. Like, he wasn't psychologically into it. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to have a great season. It doesn't mean that they're not going to meet their goals. But here's what it also means. He did the opposite of what Giannis did as an MVP-level player. And it does matter throughout the locker room, and it does matter throughout the organization. You know what Giannis did before the season that I told him to do that you told him not to do?
Yep.
That was sign an extension. So now Coach Bud understands that he's going to be there. Chris Middleton understands. He's committed. Drew Holiday knows he's committed. But when the front office of Green Bay fractures the relationship with Aaron Rodgers, you now have him not spending his offseason in Green Bay because you messed it up with an MVP-level player. So now he shows up at the first press conference. He got to relitigate everything that's happened with him in the organization. He got to talk about what he's been doing all summer. And you're not just as locked in. It's human nature. Now that butt kicking that they got this past week is going to have them focused going into this weekend. And you heard Matt LaFleur, Michigan native. They're going against a hungry team this weekend. A division foe in the Detroit Lions. They better get it together or Aaron Rodgers going to be 0-2.
Well, we all know what happens if Aaron Rodgers ends up on the ground because Dan Campbell made that clear before he even coached a game for the Lions. What was that, Mr. Campbell?
We're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
They are hungry because they're going to be eating kneecaps against the Packers in Green Bay. Jalen, all season long, we've been celebrating the historic season of Shohei Ohtani, and we gave him the AL MVP months ago. Well, guess what? Vlad Jr. just hit his 45th home run, and now is ahead of Ohtani in home runs. Could Vlad steal the AL MVP from our guy Ohtani?
The legend, Willie Horton, number 23, signed this bat for me. Vlad Jr. reminds me a lot of him. And like I told you, the key for him was transforming his body. That was the key. And now all of a sudden you flirt with a triple crown. The last player we seen do that, Miguel Cabrera of my Detroit Tigers. And he definitely won MVP. How about before that? Yes. Carl Yastrzemski of
Talk
your
to me.
Die Easy.
Talk dirty to me about Yaz.
You know
Love
what I'm saying?
Yaz.
Your Die
Love
Easy
Yaz.
Red Sox. So I would say Vlad, because his team is in a better position in the standings, plus he's going for a triple crown, may even be able to edge out My favorite player in baseball.
Well, look at the numbers here.
Based on the riders.
He is flirting with a RBI. He's an RBI away from a triple crown. He needs to get more RBI. But however, let's compare their pitching stats. Because when you do that, it becomes clear who the MVP is. When you look at Vlad's pitching stats, look at that. It's all zeros. Ohtani's 9-2 on a bad team. He's got 3.36 ERA and 136 more Ks than Vlad Guerrero. So to me, there's absolutely no contest who the AL MVP should be. It is the man who contributes much more on both sides of the diamond.
Absolutely. The best player in baseball and the show in sports. We're going to make sure we give Ohtani love, even though his team is struggling, because he's must-see TV.
It is time for Soft Move or Boss Move. Jalen, the Met Gala was last night. Neither of us were invited, which is must have been some sort of oversight. I moved recently. They probably didn't have my address. But
speak for yourself.
Russell Wilson's wife, Ciara, was in attendance. And let's just take a look at her getup. She wore like a Seattle Seahawks dress, Russell Wilson jersey with a Super Bowl ring. Soft move or boss move, dressing up in a football jersey for the Met Gala.
It's definitely a boss move. Shout to a lot of the athletes I saw there. Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, and his wife looked phenomenal. But here's why I'll say it's a boss move. Because it might be the last dance in Seattle. So she can't say she didn't represent to the fullest. You know what I mean? She was where? In New York City? Do y'all still have Danny Dimes as the quarterback? Is that what y'all doing under center?
We're not calling him Danny Dimes anymore.
Oh, okay. No, did he
Daniel
lose
Jacobs
that name?
Daniel Jacobs is what he's returned. He's
got
returned
it.
To Daniel Jacobs. Yeah, Danny
Daniel Jones. So this is definitely a boss move by Ciara. And not only does she look outstanding, but she rocking the Super Bowl championship ring. Boss move.
Well, you know I'm always negative, so I'm going to go negative on this one. You got to be on theme. The theme was American independence. That's not on theme. And you know one thing that my wife would never, ever, 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 ever do? Dress up like me. My wife would never rep for me as hard as she did. So I do have to make that a boss move then.
You're absolutely right.
I'm switching it to boss move because she's riding for her man in a way in which my wife would never. And I can say that because she doesn't even watch the show. She's never seen our show once. Jalen Rose. Would $1 million prize motivate NBA players to lose a little bit of their vacation? Would LeBron James play in a midseason tournament if there was $1 million for him at the end of it? We'll discuss that and much more right after this. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17 at the Seaport in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, what a week one we had in the NFL, but we are already looking forward to week two, and the Super Bowl champion, Buccaneers, have a game against their division rival, Atlanta Falcons, and Tom Brady posted something interesting. When you look at this post, not much to it, right? But look at the time on the clock, 3:28, which was the score when Tom Brady came back and beat the Falcons. Jalen Rose, do you think he's trolling the Falcons with this detail in his post?
David Jacoby once taught us all, you can be mean if you're funny, and yes, this is extremely funny. And by the way, you do this when you feel like the team that you're playing is trash and you're the defending Super Bowl champion. If he thought that they was gonna have some head busting ready for him this week, he wouldn't be trolling them. And by the way, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, we're gonna talk about this all year. We love Kyle Pitts.
Love Kyle Pitts.
But Matt Ryan?
Tick, tick, tick.
Like, dog, he's not mobile, never has been. Has been an MVP, is a future Hall of Famer. He looked washed in week one. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in week two.
Well, that Buccaneers defense is certainly stout in the front seven, and they're going to give him some problems. And Tom Brady, as you mentioned, is confident and is being mean and is being funny by trolling them with the 328 in the background. Moving on to some more quarterback news. This time is the Washington football team. We have an update on the hip injury of Ryan Fitzmagic. He will be out 6 to 8 weeks, which begs the question, should they make a move at QB or stick with Heinicke?
I think they played it wrong the entire time. I guess you try to take a flyer with Nick Foles if you could get him from the Bears, since they have three quarterbacks with Dalton and Fields. But who goes into a season at this point in Ryan Fitzpatrick's career and think he's going to have the durability to even last throughout the year, let alone the productivity to never need a backup? Like, that approach was flawed. I've said it from the beginning. That approach was flawed. Yes, sir.
I believe in Heinicke. I believe in Heinicke. Heinicke took this Washington football team into the playoffs, went toe-to-toe with the GOAT, went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. They gave the Bucs probably their most competitive game in the playoffs, and that was because of that man, Heinicke. Heinicke's going to get this team, powered by the defense, of course, more wins than Cam Newton would or Nick Foles would. I believe in Heinicke. Heinicke, I got you, fam. Don't let me down.
Jacoby. We've been brothers for 10 years. I want to make sure that you heard something correct. They didn't say Heineken. They said Heinicke. I know how much you like the first one.
I do like
I'm not sure the second
nice
one has proved so much to you. I think those letters got you enthusiastic.
You ever had a Heineken that's so cold that it's got like a little slushy ice on top?
See?
That hits so good on a summer day.
See, that's your
that
problem.
Hits so good on a summer day. Jalen Rose. There's some more discussion about a potential midseason tournament in the National Basketball Association. And potentially there's a $1 million purse, not for the winning team, but for every winning player on the winning team. Would a $1 million purse convince NBA stars to compete in a midseason tournament?
Absolutely. And I have a secret for everybody, excluding nepotism, obviously. People that are successful are really competitive and they're really driven. That's actually why they achieved what they're achieving in life. And a part of that is competing when it matters the most for the most money. And therefore, now there'll be low management, but guess when it won't be happening? When it's a chance to win this $1 million. You remember when the NBA came with the play-in tournament and those people moaning and groaning about how it was a bad idea? You remember, I was like, I love it, dog. I love it. Now 7 through 12 or whatever in each conference is getting discussed. It brings more teams in, and it just reminded me of something.
What's that?
It just reminded me of something.
What's
Motorcade
that?
And the Pistons gonna win this $1 million. We about to get this bread, dog. I'm telling you, it's gonna, what time of the year this gonna be? We're gonna be peaking right at the right time. This gonna be the right time for us. K gonna be cruising into his rookie of the year campaign. Isaiah Stewart gonna be his bodyguard out there. Bay gonna be making threes. Like, we getting this bread. Killian Hayes throwing full court bounce passes. That money's already in Detroit.
Jalen. I love your love for Detroit sports teams, but sometimes it is just so delusional and so irrational that it's like, I don't even understand if you understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. The Pistons aren't going to win anything, and they're not going to the playoffs this year, but they will develop that young core that you mentioned. Moving
Detroit
on.
Detroit basketball.
University of Southern California fired their head coach. Clade Helton was let go from the AD just 2 weeks into the season. Mr. Rose, remember when Lane Kiffin got fired at the airport in September? They're making a habit out of this at SC. What do you think about them letting go of their head coach after a tough loss to Stanford over the weekend?
I think nationally this isn't the job it used to be. Obviously, it's a prestigious school and it has so many amazing players and so many amazing accomplishments. But not so many since Pete Carroll left, in theory. But here's, as you start to look at the landscape of people that may be discussed to replace him, James Franklin, for example. Oh, shout to Reggie Bush. Is that Reggie Bush out there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, number five.
Did you see Reggie Bush when he went to the sideline that one time and took it behind his back? Mm-hmm. He was in his bag. Get that man his Heisman back. Did he get his Heisman back? Did he get his records back? Anyway. They're going to be talking about a lot of people to potentially replace Helton, first off, I always acknowledge when somebody didn't do a good job, and Helton didn't do a good job. But to give him a four-year deal and fire him after 2 weeks, that's a terrible hire by the school, by the AD, or by whoever made the decision. And James Franklin shouldn't leave Penn State to go to USC, because in 2021, it's not a better job. It's just not good a point. Better job. Stay tuned.
Yep. Lane Kiffin got fired at the airport. We all remember what happened to Starkeyzin, and now we have Helton getting fired. After you just fire someone 2 weeks into the season, I'm not lining up to put myself in that position. I will be lining up to put myself on the couch at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight, because it is the versus battle between Fat Joe and Ja Rule. We'll discuss that and much more right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Once upon a time in Queens, tonight and tomorrow night, 8 p.m. on ESPN, the story of the 86 Mets who beat my Red Sox in the World Series. Jalen Rose tonight. More New York hip-hop icons going in a versus battle at MSG. What do you expect to see between Fat Joe and Ja Rule?
Legendary R&B hits. They both have street records. I'm looking forward to hearing some Big Pun, some Jay-Z, some DMX. Shout out to Swiss Beats and Timbaland for bringing us verses. And shout out to ESPN2 for bringing you Jalen and Jacoby. Every day, 4 p.m., set your DVR.
We always say we give the people what they want. And part of that, doing podcast exclusive content for our favorite consumers of Jalen and Jacoby content, our podcast listeners that have been rocking with us for 10 years. Jalen Rose, I'm going to do something that's going to shock you, Mr. Rose. It's going to blow your mind. You know I go negative. You know I'm critical of people. And Russell Westbrook came out, and he went to the Met Gala last night, and he put that picture of himself in New York City wearing a skirt, a long white skirt. And so you know me really well. You would expect me to say it's a soft move and this and that. But you know what? I support the skirt. I rock with the skirt. I thought it looked pretty good. And you know, as I get older, I just care about being comfortable. And skirts look comfortable. Lululemon, we need to get a man kilt. Lululemon needs to come up with a man kilt. I'll wear that thing every day. I support the skirt. What do you think about Russell Westbrook and what you saw from the Met Gala last night?
My favorite person I saw rocking a kilt also was one of my favorite media personalities, Roddy Piper. You know what I mean? Piper's Pit was so underrated, so classic. One of my favorite wrestlers, a great entertainer. Here's what I think about men dressing up like women and or wearing skirts.
Don't get fired.
It's an acquired taste. That's what I think. It's not something I'm going to do. It's not my cup of tea, but I'm not necessarily upset when people do things that I wouldn't necessarily do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put those stars in my head that he had in his head. You know I kind of care either. About my haircut. You know I kind of care about my haircut. I wouldn't do that.
Well, you shout out to everybody at the Met Gala.
But here's what I do know. There are certain times you do things strictly for fashion and or nostalgia. Are you old enough to remember the blonde streak I put in my hair this year during the finals?
I barely remember it because he took it out the same day you put it in. You know what? You don't bat a thousand. The half moon. That was classic Jalen Rose look. Classic look. But the mohawk on Christmas and the blonde streak for the finals, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
About those two. Those are the
you
two, biggest,
see me with a
the two
ball
biggest
head?
Days. You're just reaching too far, dog. You're reaching too far.
But that's my point. I'm like Russ as it relates to being eclectic with my fashion. You saw what I wore on draft day when I got picked.
You look great.
And you saw what I wore on draft day when three Jalens got picked.
You look great at draft day this year. You look great this year.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And so it's really the stage. And if I was going to go to the Met Gala, it's two decisions I have to make. Am I wearing something that makes me suited and booted? And I'm glad that people starting to say that now. Y'all know that's a Detroit thing for everybody picking up what I'm putting down, by the way. And the other thing is, am I going to wear a costume? And certain athletes, for example, like Cam Newton, was wearing costumes. Mm-hmm. That's what Russell Westbrook does. He's wearing costumes. Like, he wore that for effect. You know what I mean? And yes. So based on that, I always push the envelopes with fashion and entertainment. You see the Renaissance man doing it every week. So I can't be mad at it. Next year, I'll be at the Met Gala. Call 985-80-JALEN and tell me, suited and booted or a costume? I'll be there next year.
You're going to be at the Met Gala the same way that you were at Dipset versus Locks, the same way you were at the Hall of Fame. Not invited, no ticket. Just going to show up and be like, I'm here, guys. Open up that velvet rope. I know how to do it. Use your thumb on that little handle. Open up the velvet rope. People are going to be taking pictures of you, don't even know who you are.
So let me teach you guys a secret. In life, try to own all of the things that don't cost you anything. I'm going to the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy when I'm finished with this show today. Shout out to Wingstop, who's going to be there to feed all of the 3.0 plus students from last year and each of the students that have perfect attendance via and with their advisory the first week of school. So that'll be about 50 to 55% of our scholars, right?
Hold on. Wait, if you got a 2.9, you can't get some wings? That's like a C+,
no,
dog.
No, no.
You're putting the bar pretty high, all right? Come on, man. A 2.9, that's not bad. That's a C+. Come on, man. I didn't know about this 3.0 thing when you said you were gonna give the kids at JRLA Wingstop. I just thought they were gonna line up and get wings. You gotta have a 3.0. We gotta come on. Just on behalf of all the mediocre students like myself, can we make that a 2.5? Can we make that a 2.5?
Well, let me tell you what happened, right? So we do credit recovery. And by the way, you can also call 985-80-JALEN, and I really wanna know this. Who's the founder of the school you went to high school at? Who is the founder of the person that founded your school? The reason why we made it 3.0 or above, Jacoby, is because those students felt like they got overlooked because we also did something special for the scholars that were in credit recovery. And what we did for those scholars who had failed a grade, we gave them the opportunity to make that up over, I believe, a 7-week period. Don't quote me on the time period. But if you went through that program and you got perfect attendance, we treat it like a summer job. Remember, we're dealing with high school students that a lot of them need to work to support themselves and or support their families. So that means that they're going to summer school, they're not working. So we incentivize them, if you have perfect attendance in the program, you get $1,000.
Whoa. Wow. That's better than some wings. I mean, I love wings.
And so the higher performing students, and I listen to the voice of my scholars, they like, hold on, wait, hit the brakes.
So you get an F, you get $1,000. That's how we're rocking.
Right. So let me get this right. I was doing great all school year, perfect attendance, no disciplinary action. But we had to also remind them, you get all of these student days during the school year. And so That's where I'm going when I leave here.
Important question, Jalen Rose. And Wingstop don't pay us, but they are taking care of the scholars, so we'll keep it Wingstop. Important question. What's your order at Wingstop?
It's a wing shortage, fam. It's real in the field.
Thigh stop.
We going thighs. They were like, let me tell y'all something. Y'all want to go 50 or below? We can do wings. Y'all want to go 51 over? We going thighs.
Thighs it is.
Yeah, we going to be there with the truck. The food going to be hot. And let me tell you something, however, that you probably have not had, that I ate my entire school experience. Public school lunch.
I mean, you acting like I've never had public school lunch, Jalen Rose?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
What are you talking about? I went to public school
my entire career. You've been a terror since the public school era as well. So anytime, I don't care what it is, it can be a bag lunch. It can be somebody dropping you off McDonald's one day. When it's not normal school lunch, it's almost the ice cream truck pulled up when you was 8 years old. It's just a level of enthusiasm that everybody's gonna have. And you know what else? It's gonna create a sense of urgency for the 2.9s and below. Here's why. When the truck pull up, everybody think they getting wings. Everybody think they getting thighs. And then you gotta get through the velvet rope. It's like, hold on, hit the brakes, Reg, hit the brakes. So hold on, you 2. What?
Okay.
And those are the type of things that we're doing at JRLA to create a unique experience for our scholars. So what I'm trying to do is partner with a relationship in the Detroit metropolitan area and give, if not the full school and staff, abbreviated groups within the building, out of school lunch. So I have a few ideas. I'm gonna have donut truck coming. I'm gonna have, I'm not gonna even name the restaurants until they do it.
Good. Well, good for you, good for the scholars. They're getting 3.0s and above. And one thing I learned about public school lunch is I started to get smarter as I got older. And I realized if we had like hamburger on Monday, we would have like beef chili on Tuesday. You know what I mean? I was like, I started getting smart. Beef I was like, chili. Oh, wait a second. Y'all just taking the hamburgers that we didn't eat on Monday, chopping them up, putting them in some beans and calling it chili
that
on Tuesday.
Part.
I was like, wait a second. Why do we have shepherd's pie? And I was, we had mashed potatoes yesterday. I see what y'all are doing. They're not getting that past me. They're not getting that one past me. I didn't figure that out until I was like 13, 14. Be like, y'all just remixing leftovers and giving it to us the next day.
But I can't front, fam. Like, school lunch, I'm not gonna act like it's a five-star delicacy, but it's improved a lot. Because it now has to be a balanced meal. So they'll get like fruit, they'll get like OJ and or a beverage. Like, it has to be a balanced meal, but everything that you said is a plus. But I will say this. There was nothing like being an athlete in high school on game days and feeling like, I'm eating good today. I'm going to KFC. I'm eating good today. I'm going to McDonald's.
Gotta really fuel my body with some fast food.
Yeah. I gotta go. I'm eating two Big Macs today.
So listen, I'm gonna bring back a memory for everybody that ate school lunch. If you're 30 and above, you know this. The ice cream freezer, and you get that little cup, that paper cup that has the circular top with that little tab that you peel off, and it's half chocolate and half vanilla, and you get that little figure eight wooden spoon that puts splinters in your mouth rubs against your tongue. It gives me like the chills just even thinking about just the texture of that wooden spoon. spoon scooper thing, and that ice cream that tasted like nothing, but man, you couldn't tell me nothing when I had that ice cream. Well, good for you, good for the scholars of the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. You can go to JRLA Detroit if you want to help. See, I still owe you a donation, dog. Remember when my credit card didn't work? But man, I made a promise, I'm gonna come through. But man, I remember when I tried to donate at the golf tournament and all my cards got declined.
That's going to be a story time.
Your assistant Michelle, was just like, dog, just go golf, man. We'll get you later. You're just wasting my time right now.
I know where you were.
I'm trying to pull out another card, like my third try. She's just like, just go golf.
She didn't want people to see it either. She's like, go get out of here, man.
This is embarrassing for me, let alone embarrassing for you.
No IOUs. I don't want to start no trend.
So my wife is out of town working on Unsolved Mysteries. She's an extremely talented director. And she's traveling, and I got the three kids. So I got to get them to school. It's a lot, man, packing the lunch, and they got all these school supplies. They give you a long list of school supplies you got to bring, and just getting them ready, getting them out, getting them to the bus, getting everything together is a lot of work. And I'm driving Chloe up to her school. She goes to school in a different neighborhood. The other two go on a bus. And I didn't have a cup of coffee yet. So I saw the coffee place on the right side, and I'm in Manhattan, it's busy, bustly. And in Manhattan now, ever since COVID, they've got these big built out, in the parking lane, they've got a big built out like restaurants with these big wooden things. So I pull over to get some coffee. I didn't judge my angles right, Jalen Rose. I consider myself a very good driver, but I heard a noise I didn't like.
No.
I heard a noise that I didn't like.
No.
And I ran right up against one of those big wooden structures, and I heard some bending and twisting of metal and some scratching.
No.
And then you get to that point. So now I'm halfway through denting my car, but I'm like, do I go forwards or backwards to get out of this? So I had to go backwards, and I get out the car, and I got a big dent in the car.
No.
It scratches. It's bad. I had to call my wife and tell her. You know, it just didn't start my day right. I got out the car, I go, it's not my day. And then I go to the coffee shop, and this guy looks at me, he's like, not your day, huh? I was like, not my day. I go to the coffee shop, I'm holding the door for this guy with a baby. We try to get our coffee. There's about 20 people online in this coffee shop for coffee. Then I'm like, you know what? I just ruined my car. Can't even get coffee. I try to go to the cart. The coffee cart got 10 people online for it. And then the guy with the baby's like, are you Jacoby? I was like, yeah, I'm Jacoby. He's like, I love your show, Jalen Jacoby. I was like, I love you too. And it's just the way my day started, man. But that is why I love doing this show. So therapeutic. My day's turned around already. I feel like the Wingstop kids. I feel like the kids when they see the Wingstop truck. That's how I feel right now. I appreciate you, Jalen Anthony Rose.
I appreciate you too, family. A couple of questions. I got a couple of follow-up questions.
Okay. I got a question for you too. Please.
Go ahead. You first.
Okay. Now, you have a decision to make when you dent the car, right? You go to the hood guy in Harlem and give him like $300 to fix it, or do you go to the dealership and insurance and like go through the proper channels? Which way do I go with this? Because last time when I hit the taillight in the parking lot of the old car, I went to the hood guy in Harlem.
There's only one choice for me. A. And it's not even close.
No. You just get cash out the ATM and just be like, here's a few hundred. He was hilarious. First of all, he was like, he quoted me at a price. I straight up was just like, no, I'll give you half of that though. And he goes, fine, because white customers lead to more white customers. You're my guy. And he's like, oh, you need to get your inspection. You don't have your inspection. I'll do that for you too. And then when I go to pick up the car, I'm like, so what about the inspection? He's like, oh, no, you got to go down the street to get that done. I was like, well, you said you were doing it. He's like, no, I'll tell you the guy that can do it. I was like, all right, dog.
That's the rest of the money.
Yeah, exactly. So what are your questions, sir?
My question, you actually just acknowledged it. The front to back, and were you going to use insurance? The third thing I was going to follow up with was calling your wife like calling your mom when you were young and you did something wrong. How did that conversation go?
I'll tell you. So first of all, I texted because she was working. So she was on set. So I spoke to her early in the car. She's like whispering and stuff. And I was like, what are you guys shooting? She's like, I can't talk right now. I'm on set. So I texted her. The second I texted her, I dented the car. Boom, her name pop up on the dash.
Incoming call.
Like, oh, you can talk now. We were just chatting about Chloe school day. You can't talk. You're on set. But once I dent the car, and she acted like, she starts a conversation, she acts like she cares about me. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, you don't care. You know I'm okay. I said I dented the car. If I was in the hospital hemmed up, I would have led with that. You know I'm fine. But she's the best. She's cool. I just need her to get home. And like I told you off wax, I feel like when she's been 10 days, she's been gone. I feel like when she walks in the door, I'm just leaving. And I'm going to go right to the airport and look at the departures. I'm just going to look at the departures and just pick one. Like, not even have a ticket. I'm going to be like Jalen Rose at the Dipset show.
Not even have a ticket.
I'm just going to point. I'm just going to point at one and be like, where are we going? Myrtle Beach? Chicago? Austin, Texas?
No doubt.
I might even bring my passport, Jay. I'm going to show up to the studio with my passport in my pocket on Friday.
No doubt. No question. I love it.
I want to apologize to the people who listen to this pod right now, Jalen, because we haven't done a voicemail in like 3 days. We've been very busy. Sometimes we run up against the time limits. So
can I do something real quick? Hit the brakes real quick before you go to the fans and the voicemails and our love and our supporters. We love the people. We about to get to the voicemails, but I got to hit the brakes for a second because Nicki Minaj is trending. She's trending because she didn't want to get vaccinated in order to go to the Met Gala. First and foremost, everyone out there, I know you have your political beliefs and your personal feelings about it. You're entitled to do so. But also, don't be upset when the rest of us look at you like you're causing contagion by not doing it, and therefore don't allow you in our hospitals, our work, our businesses, and our schools. Fair trade. I'm still trying to decide when I go to Atlanta in a couple of days, am I gonna let my barber give me a cut who ain't vaccinated? Now, as I was having this conversation, I was looking deeper into the box score. And I sent a couple of texts because you know where the Met Gala was at? Where was the Met Gala at?
The Met, actually, is where they had the Met Gala.
Where is that?
The Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City.
Okay. The Met Gala is in New York City, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can I speculate without speculating? How can I possibly know without really knowing? How about this? Allegedly, there are a couple of Nets that aren't vaccinated.
Oh, they can't play.
And a couple of those guys are their best players. I believe you're going to look up in the biggest story of the NBA season, 3-2-1, is about those guys, 1, 2, and or maybe 3 of their members, of the members of their team who are not vaccinated. They're going to have issues playing basketball in the state of New York.
Well, they have announced that the same way that fans need to be vaccinated to enter the building to watch the game, the players are under the same guidelines and rules. It's a state law at this point. So what they've announced is that if you want to play in the Barclays Center or Madison Square Garden, you have to abide by the rules that the city set forth, which are you need to be vaccinated to be inside the building.
David Jacoby, when I came on this show, and I was talking about Imani Bates.
Mm-hmm.
What college I tell you he was going to?
Memphis.
During that whole week, did you see him posting, hey, Michigan State, what do I look like? Hey, Oregon, what do I look like in the uniform? When I say something, I mean it. That's why y'all listen to the show. This is the industry tastemaker show. And I didn't just tell you where he was going to school. I followed up with what else?
That he was going to sign an NIL deal with FedEx, which hasn't been announced yet, but I'm expecting it to happen.
Three, two, one. So, like Uncle Pelmore said, when I tell you, rest in peace, Uncle P, when I tell you the chicken lay eggs, get the skillet hot, and I'm trying to tell you the Nets got some players that are unvaccinated, that are really notable, and that's going to be an issue when the NBA season start. Ain't nobody talking about this right now. But that's why you come to Jalen and Jacoby. Please continue the proceedings.
You can call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. And only our podcast listeners can call in, because we don't give that number out on the show. And only our podcast listeners get the exclusives from Jalen Rose that he can't really say on TV, because you're just with the family now. So we want to hear from our family. 985-80-JALEN, leave us a voicemail. We'll put you on the show just like this.
What's up, Jalen and Jacoby? This is Neil from the Bay Area. Shout out 925. Shout out Red the Ledge. Relatively new listener to the pod. My boy Tim put me on. Shout out to Tim. I got cultural or regional. When you walk in the house, you take your shoes off before walking around the living room, to the bedroom, anything. Got to take the shoes off. Is that cultural or regional or neither? Because maybe that's just me, because I don't look like Jacoby. I don't look like Jalen. I look more like Manny Pacquiao. And that leads me to my second question. What is the origin of the Walis that Jalen always brings on during the playoffs? The Filipino people want to know how you got your hands on the Walis. We love it, but who put that in your hand? All right, keep getting them checks. And medicinal. Thanks. Bye.
Big shout to Neil. Bigger shout to Tim. Tim out here spreading the gospel. Tim is like, Neil, Tim's telling all of his friends to listen to Jalen and Jacoby every day, where you get exclusives like the trouble that the Nets are going to have. And I'm going to say that taking your shoes off, I'd like to discuss with you, Mr. Rose, because it, to me, is cultural. And shout to all of our Filipino listeners that I've noticed that the shoes off policy, I've seen it enforced by all colors of the human species and all ethnicities. But it's definitely, definitely more likely to be enforced by our Asian American brothers and sisters than other ethnicities. So I'm going to say it is cultural. Your thoughts, Mr. Rose?
I'm going to say it's universal. And let me tell you why. You laid the foundation extremely well for different ethnicities, different backgrounds. Let me add my culture to that. Because whatever we have, we trying to keep it clean. We started as slaves, we ain't have much. Whatever we have, we trying to keep it clean. So if we have one little couch, I remember, like, I lived in a two-family flat, and like 35% of the house we could never go in because that was the living room with the plastic on the couch and the chairs. So that room was just like totally off limits. And so when you walk in the crib, especially in the Midwest or on the East Coast, it's cold outside most of the year. So you gotta take off your boots. And then on those days where it ain't necessarily cold outside, it might be wet, it might be rainy. So you're taking off your shoes, your boots, or whatever the conditions are for the most part before you walk into the house, because you just don't wanna track in somebody's house. Regardless of their floor, it could be marble, it could be wood, it could be granite, it could be whatever. And so I feel like that's something that's actually universally done amongst all of us, because people want to keep their stuff clean.
I'm going to tell an adjacent story that's just a story of getting older. If you're under 30, you're going to get to this point at one point in your life. Dog, I be looking at my shoes and my socks and I get anxiety. I get stressed. Because I know I got to reach all the way down there and put them on. I haven't put my shoes on while standing up in like 3 years. And you know how socks are fancy now? And some socks are like tight in the midfoot between the heel and the toe. It's like kind of tight. I look at some socks in my drawer and I'm like, you're not getting the start today. You're stressing me out. I need some floppy socks that are easy to slide on. And I make a noise when I put my shoes on and off. If I'm going to take my shoe off, it's like, ugh. The other one, I'm like, ugh. And if you ever see me in the street and I haven't, my shoes aren't laced, that's because I'm lazy. Right now, my shoes aren't laced. Because I can just slide them off and on because that's how old I am. That's how old I am. I make a noise when I take my shoes off and they stress me out and I don't tie my shoes anymore because it's too hard.
Shout to Big Sean, I got on this dope Don Life hoodie. I want to elaborate on what you said, and I want to give you guys some getting older tricks that you can incorporate throughout your day that aren't necessarily training, they aren't necessarily working out, but there are little things that you can do throughout the day that puts you in a position of what Jacoby just described. There always comes a point between 35 and 45 where you gotta fight for yourself or let yourself go. During that 10-year window, people fighting for themselves or letting themselves go.
And I can't front.
You know, I was at the Hall of Fame this past weekend. And I can't lie, I ain't gonna name no names.
There are two categories.
I kept telling myself, I'm gonna keep fighting.
There's two categories of ex-professional
athletes.
I'm gonna
keep fighting.
I've worked with a lot of ex-professional athletes, and they go two ways. They go two ways.
Well, football players are required to be more physical or more bulky just by trade. And then they just take a lot more supplements. So when they retire, they get smaller. But with basketball players who are normally, thin by nature, so to speak, they get heavier. And let me tell you a couple of things you can do throughout the day. It starts the night before. Go to bed at a decent hour. It starts the night before. I'm telling you right now, you drinking or smoking past midnight, 12:30 on a weekday, crushes the next day.
Dog, these overtime games are killing me, man.
Crushes
overtime.
The next day.
I just want to score. They're reviewing it and being like, he didn't get in, and then they call the penalty. I'm like, end this game.
But that's different than if you was out getting it in. You just laying in the bed ready to fall out. That's different. So it starts the night before. The next thing you gotta do, whether the night before or the morning of, when you take a shower, don't be so stiff. Use that as a chance to stretch. When the last time you stood on one leg and put lotion on the bottom of your other foot?
Oh, you know I don't use lotion. I never use lotion.
Just the exercise of putting this, just the exercise of stretching, though.
You know what I do?
You know
do,
what
OG?
I mean?
You know what I do do?
Every single day. I'm telling you, fam.
Every single day, I wash my feet in between my toes so I don't want to have stinky feet. And every day I do it, I go, I can't believe Reggie Hooks doesn't do this. Every single day I think about Reg. I'm just like, I can't believe Reggie doesn't wash his legs or his feet. I swear to God. I wouldn't say I do it every day, but every time, like at least like two or three times a week while I'm washing my feet, I'm just like, I can't believe the legend doesn't do this. The legend does not even do this with his feet.
But he don't wash his legs, but you don't put on lotion.
I don't think that's a fair trade. I don't need to.
And you
I
need
got
to
very moist skin.
But you need to adopt what I'm trying to tell you to fight for yourself and stop thinking about Reg while you're in the shower. I'm trying to give you the tricks. trying to tell you what to do.
Oh, Jay, sometimes I was like, yo, it was mad hot like 2 weeks ago in New York City. I'm talking like 90s, sweltering New York City, like do the right thing hot, right? And I went for a jog. I went for a jog, right? And halfway through this jog, I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing? What am I doing out here? Why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this?
Right.
What am I, like, yeah, I'm going to pass out. That's fighting for yourself. That is fighting for yourself. When you're working out and you're just like, what am I even doing this
is,
for?
It is.
Maybe my wife can leave me if I gain 10 pounds.
But there's working hard and there's working smart. While you're doing that shower, David, that's one of the only times in the day that you're not going to be looking at a TV, that you're not going to be staring at your phone, and that you're not going to be with your wife and or your kids. Make that some me time. Think, plan, pray, meditate, stretch. That's one. Two, I got you. When you're standing up, you 35 or over, you know what I mean. You're seated right now. I don't care if you're in the car. I don't care if you're on the floor. I don't care if you're in the chair. When you stand up, do it without your arms. You're using a lot of arms. Man, you rolling out the car.
I haven't stood up without my arms. I'm laughing because I ain't doing that, dog. No chance. No chance am I standing up without my arms. I don't even know how. Let me just try. Oh, no, that hurts. No, I'm not doing that. Sorry, I ain't rocking with that.
You see what I mean? It's just little things.
Rocking.
I got you.
I ain't rocking
Remember,
with that.
Dog, like, I'm almost 50, and I played sports until I was 34. Professionally, high school, in the backyard, in the park. Trust me, I see people my age. I see how they look. I see how they walk. I see how their smile is. I see everything, just like you do. These are like little tricks that cost you nothing, I'm telling you. You done got your meditation on. You done got your stretch on. You ain't rolling to stand up. You know what I'm saying? Like just little stuff. And the less you eat, the less you weigh. I know they've given you some great diets and people trying to sell you all kind of stuff. Newsflash, I don't care what your trainer tell you. I don't care what lipo you trying to get or whatever. Eat less. You want to lose weight? Just eat less. And eat earlier. Stop eating that. You can't. Hey, dog. I love Wingstop, but not at 11 p.m.
Yeah,
not 11 p.m.
It's like my wife, she got a meal plan where they like send her every meal and she orders it and it's supposed to be balanced and healthy
doing that.
Or whatever.
I'm good.
And then she's trying to make me do it. I'm like, let's not overthink this, y'all. Like Jalen Rose said, you eat less, you're gonna be better off. We all know the difference. You eat French fries or string beans, eat string beans. You know what I mean? Like, let's not overthink this. And every once in a while I'm gonna have a cheeseburger with bacon and you can't tell me nothing about it.
Correct.
Because every once in a while I'm gonna treat
everything
myself.
In moderation. Everything in moderation.
We gotta go.
Like yesterday,
we gotta get these wings out.
Yeah, you're right.
But let me tell you.
Everything
tell you
in moderation.
No,
yesterday,
I'm telling you a story. You know I
hear
soup. You know I love soup. And I used to play basketball on the Upper West Side at the Reebok gym. I used to play like this was in my 20s. I played like 3 or 4 times a week, just 3 hours. And I'm getting some sushi afterwards. And I order some lobster miso soup at the sushi spot. I love soup. You love lobster. Great J&J combo. And there's this wonderful elderly woman sitting at the table next to me, and she strikes up a conversation. And I'm drinking a beer, and she's drinking a beer, and we clinked each other's glasses. And she says to me, she goes, "You know what, young man? Moderation in moderation." And I'll never forget that. Do you think what that says to me? Yeah, you should be moderate and moderate yourself, but sometimes, screw that, go hard. Big shout to that elderly lady who gave me that gem. Moderation in moderation. Every once in a while, go big.
And also, like, Like, for me, I just try to be consistent. I don't try to kill myself. Like, I'm trying to be in a phase where I do something every day. Like, I want to hoop once or twice. Maybe go to yoga once. Maybe go cycling once. Maybe do whatever. Like, do stuff once or twice. You can do the same thing with your beverages. Like, yesterday, it was Casamigos Blanco. Today, it's going to be red wine. You just got to switch it up. You just got to switch it up, dog. Everything in moderation is moderation.
See, I got my pint glass double Tito soda splash of grapefruit, and every time I switch it up from that, I'm like, why'd I even do that? Let me just go back to what I know I love. Pint glass double Tito soda splash of grapefruit.
Jalen like Anthony ordered that once or twice.
Why don't you get out and get some thighs off to these kids that got 3.0 and above,
yes,
the scholars
indeed.
Of the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. You can go to JRLA Detroit, and you can help. Make sure you got your credit card game right before you try to go to JRLA and donate, because sometimes, ask Michelle, don't work. We're on TV every day at 4 o'clock on ESPN2. Make sure you DVR the show. I know you're listening to the pod, but DVR the show. And if you don't watch it, just give us the numbers. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.